swing and a miss.
Lopez goes down, and it's the first strikeout for Jose Berríos in his new Toronto Blue Jay uniform.
Hey, what's going on? It's At The Letters, Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson Smith. Our producers are Amal Delich and Nick Andrade. And this is a special opening day episode of At The Letters, in which Ben and I are going to sit down with one Jose Berríos, who is going to start the opener for the Blue Jays here on April the 8th against Texas Rangers at Rogers Center. Jose Berríos, a guy who, like, just perpetually overlooked and just does not get the credit that he is due for the innings that he has logged over the last several seasons, for the ERAs that he has produced, the results that he's had, for the breaking ball that he throws that is, like, absolutely nasty. Like, you see so many pitches, you know, flipped around on Pitching Ninja and these various accounts on Twitter, and I'm like, where is the Jose Berríos? Because you just watch this guy pitch on the mound at Rogers Center, and it's like, man, his curveball is nasty when it is on. Blue Jays hoping it's going to be on for many years to come, because they obviously signed him to that 7-year extension over the offseason, like a really meaningful contract for this organization. Jose Berríos, very important player for this organization. That's why he's starting on opening day. And you know, Ben and I feel really privileged to have been able to sit down with him for some length here, just to talk a bit about his career, you know, his backstory, his family, what makes him tick, who he is on the mound, what he likes about the Blue Jays organization. I mean, we got into all kinds of stuff with Jose, who gave us some really great insights. So really excited for you all to get to hear that here on At The Letters. So after this, Ben and I chat with Jose Berríos. Jose, thank you for the time, because I'm pretty sure you're a really routine-oriented guy, and I feel like we're screwing up your morning routine. What's a typical sort of spring training morning for you?
First of all, thank you guys for having me here. I've got routine, but I can handle when, you know, we can change, we can make adjustments. So every morning, you know, eat breakfast, chat with my teammates, have fun, start the day with in the right way. Then I start preparing myself, you know, doing my rollout, stretch, and be ready for go out there and do our practice.
I mean, last year, obviously, you were traded to the Blue Jays midseason. So, you know, you never had the chance to have a full spring training and really get used to the environment, get used to your teammates. How's it been this year having that chance to actually get to know the organization instead of being just thrown in there?
Glad to be part of this group. Like you say, this is my first full spring training with the organization, and they already treat me like I'm here for, you know, a long time ago. So I'm so happy for that. Obviously, I've been knowing every player, every Blue Jays front office staff, so they give me a nice welcome, and I feel like at home.
It's still all new, man, like, because you haven't even been a Blue Jay that long. You're probably still meeting people.
Yeah, yeah. I think I see everyone, but I don't know the name yet, but I've been practicing that. You know, it's too many people for in just 3 weeks, so it's hard to me.
And it's your first spring here, but of course you're a veteran pitcher in the major leagues at this point, and you've been a pro for basically 10 years since you were drafted now. So these routines are new to you, or are not new to you, and spring training is not either. So in this period of time, what is it that you're looking to accomplish, and how do you kind of set yourself up for the season maybe differently than you would have when you first came in?
Yeah, like you say, I have 10 years on, you know, pro baseball. I've been knowing this beautiful sport, also myself. That's the more important thing, like when you know yourself and you know what you need to do to be out there and get your best opportunity to do the best. The years before, I obviously came to spring training, trying to make a team year by year because I don't have anything secure yet. But now we extend our career for another 7 year with this organization. So for this spring training 2022, you know, we work all off season and get to come to spring training and bring more to our tank. So I don't do much off season. Like I say, I keep to make room for spring training to have more, like, to improve myself, like pitching and physically, like in the weight room. So that's the difference. That's the adjustment I did from beginning spring training to this one. Mm-hmm.
Man, your life has changed so much in the last 8 months when you think about it, right? Like, that's when you were traded 8 months ago.
sign the extension. You go from, you know, who knows how long you're going to be with Minnesota, but now living in a completely different country for 5-7 years, we'll see. New spring training, new team, new teammates. I mean, this changes your family's life as well. I mean, what's that been like logistically, just behind the scenes for you and your family, just having this much upheaval and this much change in your life over such a short amount of time?
Yeah, we never been in this position, you know, this situation, but nothing's been like hard or difficult, like different, but we are enjoying so far. We meet new people. We went to a new country. The one we like it, we enjoy it. Like the last 2 months we spent over there in 2021. But at the same time, when my family and my people around me see me and I'm doing okay, they're going to be okay. So if they see me like, you know, scared or nervous or something, that's when they start care about me and all that stuff. But my teamwork, my family, the people around me, obviously the organization, everyone are being helped me to make that transaction more easier.
And you signed your extension in Toronto when you'd only been a Blue Jay for really 8 weeks, maybe, right? And he hadn't seen that much of the city. Or I asked you at the press conference, I said, what did you see? Like, what did you like about Toronto to make you want to stay here? And you said you felt like you could be a human in Toronto, and your family felt that. And like that was so cool to hear, just as someone who's born and raised in Toronto and someone who's a Canadian. But I wonder if you can just kind of expand on that and the experiences that you had in that really short time in Toronto that made you want to be here long term.
They recognized me when I got there, and usually they like sport, they like baseball. But at the same time, they respect your space and all that stuff. They say like hi, or they wish to us like the best. But at the same time, they let us to be a human, you know, go out there and have good time. Like, because we are out of the field, so we still be a human like everyone. When we had that, nothing better can you have to feel good and keep doing your thing, you know, on the ballpark, on the work. So that's what I say that, and I don't have any doubt to stay here for the next 7 years.
And when you think about it, you kind of arrived at Toronto at an unusual time, because the team was just returning to Toronto, and the city at that time, I mean, it's still dealing with COVID-19, of course, but at that time, the stadium was only partial capacity. The city was still really kind of starting to come back to life. So how much did you have the chance to get to know Toronto in that period of time? And I guess you would have been there before with Minnesota.
I've been there before with Minnesota, but just for 2, 3, 4 days mostly. But last 2 months for 2021, like you say, 8 weeks, something like that. But every time I had the chance to go out there, like take dinner, walk around the city, I did. I heard that. I know they don't open 100% for everyone, but it's still, you know, fun for me. Like, see how people enjoy and have fun every day. Like, they enjoy, they like to have good time. So I come from a little island, but the island we like to have fun every day. So make me feel like comfortable and happy, and where we are in Toronto.
And it seemed like, you know, once the off season ended, you know, extension talks seemed to get going pretty quickly. I mean, at least, you know, when I saw that news starting to break, I was like, whoa, this seemed, you know, to come together pretty quickly. But obviously it was something that both sides wanted.
I remember that Sunday, we are waiting for the tiebreaker game, but we don't have that chance. Right after we done with that game Sunday, we are congratulating, you know, doing a hug to everyone. Ross talked to me and say we want to talk soon, obviously about the extension. So they already say to me, and I be prepared, and we are waiting for that conversation. So that's why we make that decision so quickly.
Well, and you wanted to move quickly too in the off season, right?
Like, it's much better for me know what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. I don't wanna wait until spring training, you know, waiting for if you wanna sign, if you wanna play for just this year, and then see what happened. So that's why we be aggressive for that extension, and let's go. We did it.
Well, and you had such an interesting choice to make, right? Because pretty young starter, you know, a year from free agency, you've been durable, effective. There was another option there, right? To say, hey, let's pitch this season and go to free agency and see what could be there for me. What were those conversations like then with your agent at that time, immediately after the season? You've been traded, you've had upheaval. You know, how did you kind of arrive at your decision?
I would get with my agent. The plans be going year by year. Yeah. Until we get to the free agency. But when we get to that time, like last year, we had the communication and get to that deal. We see they are being aggressive with us. And obviously, this is for my future, you know, for myself, my family, a lot of people around me. So we had to see what we got on the table. And he explained me about why we had to do this and why we can't do this. But when they say they bring good and enough money to the table, mm-hmm. I think he got a good chance for myself and the family. But at the same time, like you say, we have only one more year to get it to free agency. That's what every ball player wanted, to get to that point and then go out there and extend your more value, you know?
Yeah.
But they are being, first of all, a great person. They treat me like a family here, I was home. So then they bring good money and we did it.
Well, and it's so hard to get there as a starting pitcher too, right? And to be as durable as you've been. All the times you've taken the mound when you didn't feel your best.
Sometimes we don't feel 100%, but we find a way and just trying to go out there and through 5, 6, 7 in.
So about a week or 10 days, sometime really soon after they signed you, they also signed Kevin Gausman. And looking back at it, you guys were first rounders in the same draft in 2012. So at that time, did you know, how long has he kind of been on your radar? Have you had a relationship with him previous to this spring?
Not really. Obviously, we see him in the stadium. Mm-hmm. He playing for Baltimore. I've been seeing him, throwing. Then when he start doing well, like the way he's been doing, when people do it really good out there, everyone gonna know. So then when we signed, we had a chance to chat and talk. Then we meet here in spring training. Yeah, it's good. Good now having the same team. We can pitch, compete, do like amazing thing out there for the team.
How old do you know Carlos Correa?
We are from the same draft year. So we play together 2011 for August to December. Then we separate, then we play against him. So I know him from 2011.
So what did you think about seeing him sign with Minnesota, not long after they had traded you?
It's crazy. I be honestly, I never see that going to happen.
Yeah.
But good for him, obviously. He made a great, great money for him, for his family. He's a great leader. He can play out there and do a special thing on the field. So now he had the chance to play the city I was there before, and gonna be special seeing another Puerto Rican play for that team.
Are you a little surprised with just how that organization has been doing things lately? I mean, they could have signed you to a long-term deal, and I guess they ended up trading you, so I don't know if you guys went down the road on that at all. Then they go out and are making some moves like the Correa move. It just kind of seems like two different directions.
I think they like spend a lot of money in position player more than pitcher. That's the way they see it from Joe Mauer. Then they sign some free agent pitcher, but they don't spend more than 70. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then they sign again Donaldson for 90-something. Then this year, this offseason, they trade him and make room for Carlos Correa. That's why they signed for that special deal.
So we were talking to Gausman the other day, and he said that for him, as a young pitcher coming up, when he first got to the majors, the one big moment for him was striking out Derek Jeter. And that kind of said, whoa, like my stuff plays. Like this is legit. And I'm wondering for you, like when you first got to the majors, who were some of those guys that you faced and you said, I can do this?
My first year was in 2016. It was a tough and rough year for me. I don't pitch well, I'll be honestly. But that year teach me and helped me to grow like a man, like a pitcher. And what I've been doing wrong after 2016 season, I went back to my Iceland, worked myself, mostly mentally. And then when I came back 2017, and when I made my first outing against Cleveland, and the way I did it through 7 innings, coming from the year before, I can't make any out, for innings. When I see that, I remember May 13, 2017, and I threw 7 innings, and we won, and they say, now I see myself pitching in this level for many years.
That's cool. And, since then you've become so durable. I mean, obviously 2020 was the shortened year, so no one really pitched a lot of innings that year. But in the other three years that have been full seasons, you've gone at least 190. So what are some of your kind of keys mentally to get through that kind of challenge?
Before we start the season, I put that goal like that, get to that amount inning, win, whatever. But I use that for motivating myself to go every day and do my routine, like I was saying, like work in the weight room, go out there and work in the specific thing I need to improve to get better pitcher and better competitor I took serious, like I rest, you know, my hour of sleep, also my nutrition, all that kind of little thing helped me to get through things you say, like throw many innings per year and be durable in this level.
I remember you saying that when you were traded, you know, you were like, man, the biggest thing is I just haven't had enough sleep. I might need to start in a couple of days. Like, that's clearly very important for you, like that routine, nutrition-wise, recovery-wise, yep, in between your outings. Like, how regimented have you gotten in how you go about that type of stuff?
Yeah, I try to be too responsible with that, how you say, recovery, like sleeping and eating stuff. But we are human. We fly around the world and learn how I adjust with that. We can sleep 8 hours every night, but if we are able and I had the chance to do it, I will. I want to sleep 8 or more hours. That's how baseball is. Like we travel, we fly, we play a lot of game, but no matter how, we have to go out there and find a way to compete.
That's the other thing I noticed about you when I saw you make that first start at Rogers Center, because like, yeah, I talk to you now, like pretty laid back, humble, mild mannered on the mound. That's a different guy. Yeah. I feel like there's a different level of intensity that I saw from you.
We have to change. We can be nicely and be a friend. You know what I mean?
The word is asshole.
But at the same time, I tend to be like that, but respect, you know, every person.
Right. But do you have to kind of mentally turn a switch before you're outing? Like, how do you kind of get to that place?
I motivate myself. Like, if I saw something from the other team, like, some player or something being happening, like, okay, I took that to motivate myself to keep this guy, or, you know, anything happen, like, I don't see anything wrong. I just trying to motivate myself using my kid, family, something. But yeah, I use something to go out there and turn that switch.
And you are competing, I mean, against the best of the best, right? Like the hitters in the American League East and just in baseball broadly right now, like the caliber of young hitters especially is just incredible. So, you know, when you're facing, you know, lineups or thinking ahead to the season, who are some of the hitters, like position players in the game that you really, I don't know if enjoy is the right word here, but, you know, that you would kind of relish the challenge of facing some of those guys?
We got many. I had it like 2 days ago, one of young player from minor leagues. I say, what's the tough hit your face? I say, I have many. I have every year we see different player make adjustment. The same way I've been adjust myself, doing like trying to be better, they are doing the same thing, you know, day by day. They've been doing adjustment to face me and trying to hit me a homer. That's the main goal for them, trying to do damage to me. But beginning my career, I have more than now. Thanks God, I've been get experience, and now it's more easy to make those adjustments quickly, you know, pitch by pitch. We always have some hitters, some player, they are hot, and it's tough to get him out.
Well, you were just saying about your mentality on the mound and what goes through your mind. You think about your kids on the mound. What do you think?
I want the best for them, so I have to do good. I have to push myself to the next level. Either we don't have the energy or we don't feel it 100%, but that pushed me to get to that level.
Because it's so obvious how important they are to you. I remember the press conference and they were there and you know, being adorable. You're taking photos, you're talking to them. You were kind of tearing up a little bit talking about them at the press conference. I remember, I mean, coming from the little island, as you put it, of Puerto Rico, like, do you take a lot of responsibility on yourself to provide a good future for your family? Because maybe, you know, you didn't have you couldn't have imagined this when you were growing up.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what I do, what I did. I wake up every morning. Because I love it, play baseball. I am passionate for the what I do. But at the same time, now I got purpose. I got a reason to wake up every morning and go and get my 100% in everything I do. You know, my kid out there, I say my everything. You know, God, my wife, kid. So also my family, my parents, my brother, they enjoy the way I am. You know, be a son, be a brother. Now I'm dad, and then they still enjoy watching me every 5 days out there and do my work. So I took that to myself, and that motivated me, and I enjoy. I don't see like a work, I have to do this, because no, I just enjoy it. And you know, we got purpose, but at the same time, the most important thing for me, because I enjoy.
When you were your son's age, I mean, what did life look like for you? Like, how would you describe your upbringing at that time?
When I was young?
Yeah, in Puerto Rico. Did you foresee this future? Like, could you have imagined?
Not really.
Right?
Not really. The beginning, like, I don't remember, maybe 10, 11 years, I said, I want to be a bad boy of MLB.
Nice.
Because, you know, he's been around baseball player and baseball every day. I see that. I say, it's easy to get a bad boy. You know what I mean? Then when we start growing up and, you know, getting bigger, then I say, I want to be a pro baseball. Yeah. I didn't know pro baseball is one thing and then MLB is another, you know, different thing. Then when we signed, I said, oh, now we had a chance to be a big leaguer. So in the life, we had a process. We had to make goals, accomplish it. Then, oh, that's not enough. So we had to get more. That's when you keep moving forward and, you know, set goal and then you work to try to get over there.
Because usually it's the other way around. You know, the bat boy wants to be the player, not the player wanted to be the bat boy.
Yeah, so. But at that time, I say around baseball player, he's at the ballpark every day. So I want to be there too.
That's amazing.
The other thing I really remember you saying from your press conference was how impressed you were that Blue Jays coaches were working out with you in the weight room and training. Why is that important for you? Or like, why did that have an impact on you?
I see that and I get surprised because they are our authority in the clubhouse and in the ballpark. So when you got your leader guys doing those kind of things, when they tell you and explain you have to do this, we have to follow them because they're already doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when your dad or mom say something, don't do this or because this, but you see them and they still doing it. You like a son, like a follow them and you're gonna do the same thing. You know what I mean? So when I see that our coaches start working out, trying to be ready day by day and bring a lot of energy to the player, you know, that's a great and good opportunity to be better player and competitive guy.
And then the last thing for me, I mean, you know, you haven't even experienced Rogers Center yet, really. You've seen 30,000. You haven't seen 46,000 behind you on opening day. I don't know if you're going to be the opening day starter.
Me either, but
I suspect. I have a suspicion. I have a very clear suspicion. But like, you don't even know what that's going to be like yet until you're in that moment. But like, when you think about your journey, right, you know, coming from the little island, right, and being an international guy in MLB, getting to play in another country and represent an entire country of Canada, like, have you imagined what that will be like? Like, have you thought about what kind of impact that'll have on you?
I've been knowing, like, people in Canada, people in Toronto love baseball. So I've been seeing that, like you say. I just pitch from 30,000 people last year. I never been in there, so I can't and explain how I'm going to feel and see that. But one thing I can tell you, I prepare myself to when that day come, I'm going to be ready for that moment.
And I feel like it's meaningful to you, though, to do it in an international city, you know, in an international country as an international guy yourself. Like, I feel like there is some meaning to that for you.
It's going to be special, obviously. Yeah. A lot of international people, you know, Toronto had a lot of diversity. It's impressive, but I say a lot of Canadian guys love baseball. I think they love sport. Like, they are so passionate and they get into the game. So we see that, we took that and motivate ourselves to do the best for them.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Our thanks, obviously, to Jose Berríos for sitting down with Ben and myself for as long as he did. He took time out of his day in spring training when he's obviously very busy getting ready for an MLB season. So many thanks to him. Hope you all enjoyed it. We really enjoyed the conversation, learned some things we didn't know about Jose Berríos coming into it. And hopefully you all kind of gained a better understanding of the guy that the Blue Jays have committed to over the next 7 years and who's going to be on the mound for the club at Rogers Center here on opening day on April the 8th. So
Exciting stuff happening for the Blue Jays. Exciting stuff happening with ATL. We'll be back, obviously, every week with fresh episodes recapping all the news and happenings around the team. And we're also going to have some other spring training, you know, interviews and content that we produced, hitting YouTube, hitting the, you know, your podcast feeds, hitting sportsnet.ca over the coming days and weeks. So keep an eye out for that. Want to thank you, as always, for listening. Want to thank our producers, Amal Delich and Nick Andrade, who were on the ground with us in Dunedin doing yeoman's work. Just great support from them and setting up everything that it took to make the audio on this podcast sound as good as it did, and to produce the video elements of this that you can catch on YouTube. Nick doing just a great bang-up job on that. So big thank you to Amal and for Nick for all the time that they put into this podcast. And of course, thanks Christian Ryan, as always, who is with us producing in his regular role every week at ATL this week, and or this year, I should say. And yeah, we're going to talk to you next time. For Ben, I'm Arden. This has been At the Letters.